You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio with Mark Ogden, the Daily Telegraph's Northern Football Correspondent, on the line. First of all, it's a warm welcome, a good morning to Mark Ogden. Good morning, Mark.
Hi, Dave.
How are you doing, sir?
Very good, thank you.
We've got a lot to chat about on this Friday morning with the Champions League midweek fixtures completed. And I suppose we better start with the Champions League, Mark. And it was a mixed couple of nights for the English clubs. Chelsea, the only English club to win on the Tuesday or the Wednesday. Disappointment for Arsenal, I think, in Dinamo Zagreb.
Yeah, it's been a strange week. And to be honest, you wouldn't have really have expected three defeats. If you go through the card, you know, Arsenal at Zagreb, Zagreb was supposed to be the weakest team in the group. They hadn't won the Champions League game for 15 or 16 years, so you know they really should have taken care of that one. It was a really bad result, and it puts them on the back foot a little bit, because if you lose to the weakest team in the group straight away, they've got trips to Olympiacos and Bayern Munich to come, so they really can't afford any more slip-ups, really, because obviously you'd expect Bayern to run away with the group. As for the other two, City, Juventus, well, you know, Juve got the Champions League final last season, but they've lost a lot of players. You know, Pirlo's gone and Tevez has left. So you would have backed City to win that, especially on the back of Juventus's, you know, poor start in Serie A and City's great start in the Premier League. And then United was a strange game. I was in Eindhoven on Tuesday, and obviously the Luke Shaw incident, you know, really kind of affected everybody, you know, both on the pitch and off it. I think it was very strange. But having taken the lead through Memphis Depay, United had two great chances to extend the lead and didn't take them. And PSV just, you know, punished them for it. And I thought United's performance actually wasn't too bad, but again, it's put them on the back foot a little bit, because, you know, that if you look at that group, PSV, CSKA and Wolfsburg, you've got three or four teams that are all pretty much of a similar standard. So if United don't bounce back with a win against Wolfsburg in the next game, it's going to be tricky for Van Gaal's team.
Manchester United are still 1-2, Mark, to qualify from this group. Wolfsburg are 1-3 in that market. PSV Eindhoven still, despite having beaten Manchester United at home, 13-8 to qualify. And CSKA Moscow are 2-1. So it looks like a pretty tight group, that Group B. I suppose players will have been affected by the Luke Shaw injury. He'll be devastated. And I think Manchester United fans will be devastated as well, because he's shown adaptability in the early part of the season, and he's brought them a bit of a spark as well.
Yeah, he's been a really big part of the team this season so far, Luke Shaw. He had a bad year last year with his fitness and just adjusting to the move, but he really has stood out as a real kind of improved player. And with Shaw missing, you know, it does cause a lot of disruption at the back. Does Van Gaal move Daley Blind from centre-half, who's played well, to left-back? Does he bring Rojo in at centre-half? Does he put Darmian at left-back and change the right-back situation? The injury to one player has caused an awful lot of kind of upheaval at the back, and it'll be interesting to see how United cope, because he was a big part of Van Gaal's plans there. But when you mentioned the odds for United getting out of the group, and I think that's quite optimistic, you know,
right,
2-1. I just think that the days of Man United sailing through Champions League groups are over. You know, back in the day when they used to be the standout team, there really isn't anything to choose between, certainly Wolfsburg, United and PSV. And CSKA in Moscow is always an awkward trip for teams to take on. Man City lost at home to CSKA last season, and they struggled in Moscow, so it's a really tough group for United. I think they really need to get their act together quickly.
What about Arsenal? Because Arsene Wenger is celebrated for his consistency in terms of producing an Arsenal team that can qualify for the Champions League each and every year. But once there, what did you make to his team selection, first of all, on Wednesday night?
It was strange. Well, it was understandable on the basis that they had an away trip in the Balkans on a Wednesday night. They go to Chelsea at 12:45 on a Saturday, so that really is the nightmare scenario, an away game before a lunchtime kick-off on a Saturday, but he had to make changes. I really don't know why he persists with Olivier Giroud. I just don't see what he brings. He's slow, he's cumbersome, and as we saw the other night, he can't be relied upon at times, and that was a crazy sending off, and only had himself to blame. And Walcott came on later on and scored a fantastic goal and really kind of unnerved the Zagreb defence with his pace. So I just think Wenger, you know, whether Arsenal got into a rut now where they complacency maybe with the Champions League that, yes, they'll get in a group and they'll come through and get to the last 16, maybe the quarterfinal if they're lucky. And, you know, I think they've got to raise the game a little bit because teams in Europe are getting better. And I think, for me, the Olympiacos game is the big one for Arsenal now, because if they don't get points from Olympiacos, then they really are facing uphill battle. Because obviously Zagreb have now got the tails up as well.
If you were Arsenal chairman, would you persist with Arsene Wenger?
Well, that is a big question, because you could argue that Arsenal are now kind of on the way to becoming what they should be, having won two FA Cups in the last 2 years. But what is it? It's no league titles in 11 years. And I think that maybe the time has come to be ruthless, perhaps. You know, Arsenal need some sort of energy. The big club, the based in London, which is a big thing for attracting players. You know, foreign players want to play in London. They've got a lot of money. But Wenger doesn't want to spend it, and he doesn't want to spend it in the right areas. And I think, should they get rid of him? It's a tough call, but I don't think Man United or Man City will put up with their managers for 11 years if they won two FA Cups.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's get stuck into this weekend's Premier League fixtures then, the televised ones, and we'll start with that game that you've already mentioned, Mark, Chelsea versus Arsenal, which is a 12:45 PM kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Chelsea 7-5 to win the game. The draw is 5-2, and Arsenal in the market at 9-5. It would have been inconceivable at the start of the season to be sitting here chatting with you, Mark, and think that Chelsea are 11 points behind Manchester City. This is a must-win. If they've got any pretensions to win the Premier League again, this is almost a must-win game this early in the season.
Absolutely. It's a massive game for both clubs, really. Certainly for Chelsea. I think Chelsea's preparation for this game is as good as it could have been, as we said before, with the fixtures in Europe. A home game against Maccabi Tel Aviv, the easiest team in the competition rather than the group. So Chelsea coasted to victory, rested some players, got over the kind of the problems of the previous weeks with the defeats and what have you. So they'll go into it in a better mood. Arsenal, again, come back tired, leggy. And with the record at Stamford Bridge under Arsene Wenger against Mourinho, you think, well, what can you cling to if you're an Arsenal fan? But I guess, you know, Chelsea's inconsistency this season may be the thing. You know, if Arsenal players play the game that we know they can play, they can beat Chelsea. But I just think that because of the way this week has gone, it does play into Chelsea's hands a little bit. And I think that Mourinho will just make sure his team goes out not to lose. If they get a draw, it's not the greatest result. It's much better than a defeat. So I don't think it'll be a great game.
Would you be going low on the goals then, do you think, here, Mark?
I think so. If Chelsea score first, I think it'll be a 1-0. I just think that'll be them. Shut up shop, big pragmatic. Arsenal score first, it may be a different game, but I don't know. I just think this is, as you say, it's a huge game for Chelsea. Because they can't afford to lose, I don't think they will.
Chelsea to win the game is 7-5. If you want to look at that Chelsea 1-0 correct scoreline, 8-1. Here with William Hill, Chelsea to win 1-0. And we've got Man City versus West Ham on Saturday tea time, 5:30 PM kickoff this one. Manchester City 2-9, the draw 11-2, West Ham in the market at 10-1 here. City so far, Mark, maximum points, played 5-1-5 without conceding. They've won 11 Premier League games in a row now. They're closing in on Arsenal's record of 14. And when you consider that maybe 3, 4, 5 months ago, many were questioning whether Manuel Pellegrini was the right man to lead a Manchester City, it's been a quick turnaround.
Well, I saw them lose at Burnley, which was probably, I think, March time, and they looked terrible. They just looked, you know, a team that was ready to be broken up, really. They just looked lacking ambition, lacking hunger. They didn't really want to be there. But Pellegrini, to be fair, and I also was at the Derby as well when United beat them 4-2. That was the last time they lost. And you know, from that day on, they've really changed the way they've gone at things. And, you know, the new signings have made a difference. Sterling's brought a lot of pace up front, and I think De Bruyne will help as well. But, you know, I think company's got a slight calf strain, which might be a problem. It might make him miss the game tomorrow. Aguero isn't 100% fit. So, you know, there are probably one or two little glimmers of hope for West Ham. But let's be honest, West Ham have gone to Anfield and to the Emirates this season and won. So 10-1, that sounds to me like quite an interesting little bet. If West Ham can, again, they've had a free week. West Ham, well, they played Monday night, but they've not had the kind of the mental and physical stress of a Champions League game. So And we all know that Champions League fixtures do take it out of the teams for the following Premier League weekend. So, you know, West Ham might have a glimmer of hope, but it'll be some hat-trick, you know, to win at Arsenal, Liverpool and City within the first month of the season.
Yeah, West Ham are 10-1 to win the game. What do you think has changed at Manchester City? You mentioned the signings they've brought in, Sterling and De Bruyne, a couple, and it does seem as if Vincent Kompany, after a difficult season last season, has managed to recapture some of his form.
Yeah, well, Kompany, he came back. He went back into training about 3 weeks before everybody else. He was tweeting photographs from the gym in the middle of June, and he's basically clearly determined to get himself fit and right and firing for the season. And he has been. He looks like a man possessed at times. Whether it's he feels his reputation was damaged last season because he wasn't great last year, but he certainly come back with a bang. Again, he does have problems with calf and hamstring and thigh strains at times. So the one he picks up against Juventus will be a concern for City. Even if he's fit, just the fact that, again, he's showing susceptibility to those, you know, 2-3 week injuries that can, you know, start to mount up. But, you know, when he's on his form, when he's at his best, Kompany's the best centre-half in the Premier League, he's the best leader, and he's crucial to City.
How do you see this game panning out from a tactical perspective? Do you think that Slaven Bilic will set his team up to sit deep and then hit on the counter?
I think that might be the idea. The one danger with City is that they have so much, you know, pace and movement up front with Sterling and Silva and Nasri at times that it can be impossible to frustrate. You know, I've been to a lot of games at the Etihad where, for an hour, you know, you're thinking this is going nowhere, this game, and all of a sudden they cut through and they win 3 or 4 nil. So Bilic will have to go there with a threat. He'll have to go there with something on the break himself that he can test City with. But you know, he's a guy that can come up with a plan, and you know, that is what will give him a chance. He will devise a strategy to take on Pellegrini. I think, you know, West Ham are usually no hopers at Man City. I think they've got a bit of hope this time.
If you fancy the Hammers, as Mark's mentioned, big price, 10-1 this weekend for West Ham to go to the Etihad and win. Let's look at Sunday's games then, the live fixtures on Sunday. Tottenham versus Crystal Palace in the London Derby. Tottenham 10-11. The draw is 5-2. Crystal Palace in the market at 3-1. A couple of headline offers here as well. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 3-1. Jason Puncheon to score and Crystal Palace to win in the market at 10-1. Crystal Palace have been particularly strong, Mark, away from home under Pardew. They've won 8 of their last 10 away from Selhurst Park. He's got this team motivated and working well.
He has. They've been a real impressive act under Pardew, Crystal Palace. And it'll be interesting to see how they react to losing to City last week, because they were, you know, within seconds of claiming a draw against City and ending their winning run. But so they'll be disappointed in that, obviously. And, you know, it takes something to bounce back from that. And there may be a sense as well that clubs are now beginning to work Palace out and just think that, you know, they are so good away from home, there has to be a reason for it. So they'll be spending a lot more time, you know, studying Crystal Palace and trying to find their weaknesses. So that will also be a challenge for Palace to overcome. But I think at the minute, the way that Spurs have started the season, and again, we're talking about European games in midweek, they played last night against Carabao. I just think that Palace will go to Tottenham believing they can win, because they've had a free week and they're playing well. I think Palace have got a real chance here. I think Palace can continue to be the surprise story of the season.
Tottenham are one of the youngest sides in the Premier League as well. And we saw that against Manchester City, this Crystal Palace side, they take no prisoners. There's a possibility in my mind that they could bully Tottenham out there as well on Sunday.
Absolutely, yeah. And they play a kind of a high tempo game, Crystal Palace, as well. So if the Tottenham players are feeling a bit leggy after last night's game and a bit kind of, you know, head still in the clouds, then Palace will be at them. And, you know, this is probably the worst possible game for Tottenham, probably other than being at Selhurst Park, ironically. But it's a tough game, and I just think Palace will catch them at the right time, and I think Palace can win this one.
Palace to win it at 3-1. And we finish with Southampton versus Manchester United. 11-5, Southampton. The draw 23-10, Manchester United 5-4. These two teams have been involved in a few crackers down the years against each other, Mark. We talked about Manchester United and their result midweek in the Champions League, and you mentioned you thought they played pretty well in that match despite being beaten. Can you see progress with Louis van Gaal? Because that's what Manchester United fans want to see. They expect to win trophies, and some of them have been pretty damning in their criticism of van Gaal.
Yeah, I think on Tuesday there was definitely signs of progress. they were a much more attacking outlet against PSV. Now, I don't think he has the personnel that he wants yet, despite spending, you know, over £250 million. I still think he's, I'm not quite sure he's convinced by Juan Mata. Herrera doesn't seem to, you know, convince him either. But I do think that the one thing that I saw away from the Shaw thing on Tuesday was there's definitely a potential partnership between Anthony Martial and Memphis Depay. Some of the link play was fantastic, and you know, Martial's pace and Depay's power, there was a real kind of sense that there could be at the beginning of something there, but clearly they're both very young, and as we've seen with Depay, it looks great in the Champions League, but it can't quite translate into the Premier League as yet. He's found that much harder. Now, Martial had a great start against Liverpool last week, and he'll be you know, lifted by that, but Southampton away is a really tough game, and it's with Man United at the moment, you just don't know what you're going to get. You know, you could get a team which played at Swansea, which just, you know, doesn't really seem to have a plan, or the one that tore Liverpool apart in the last half an hour at Old Trafford last week. Southampton have had a difficult start of the season, having lost so many players, but this game really it's impossible to call. It could be 3-0 to either side or a 0-0 draw.
It could indeed. 23-10 for the draw, if you fancy the draw in the game. You mentioned there you don't think that Louis van Gaal's got the players in that he wants yet. Is he shooting for the stars a little bit, trying to attract personnel, players like Gareth Bale and Cristiano Ronaldo, players that clearly aren't going to leave?
Yeah, I think that's what United are desperate for. I think as a club and as a team as well, I think commercially they're quite keen to have a Galactico, as they say, but you know, they do lack that bit of pizzazz, and maybe Martial might give that to them at some point. But, you know, if Wayne really comes back and he can rediscover his best form, you know, that might give them what they're lacking. But, yeah, they just don't look... They don't look a team, a cohesive unit at the moment. They are showing flashes of good stuff going forward and defensively, but obviously the Shaw range is going to make an awful lot of difference at the back. So
yeah,
they're impossible to kind of second guess at the moment, Man United.
How do you see them setting up with that Shaw injury? Do you think that Blind will move on to the left and Rojo come inside, or Rojo stay on the left and Blind continue that partnership with Smalling?
Well, because Van Gaal is such a methodical coach, he doesn't, you know, everything is thought over a million times. I think you look at it and think, well, Shaw being injured creates one problem. So the easiest way to solve a problem is to solve it straight away. If they move Blint to left-back, you're creating another problem at centre-half.
Yeah.
So I think Van Gaal, being a pragmatist, might just put Rojo at left-back and hope that he can cope. But, you know, United went close to signing Sadio Mane in the summer. His pace is electric, and Rojo is not the quickest, and he's at times a red card waiting to happen. So that might influence his thinking. But whoever they play at left-back will not be an adequate replacement for Luke Shaw. They've lost a really big player there. Mm.
And you briefly mentioned Wayne Rooney and his fitness, his doubts. And how does he fit into Manchester United's style under Van Gaal? Because Van Gaal clearly likes to go with the one striker with maybe three in behind. That doesn't appear to suit Wayne Rooney.
No, well, Van Gaal's desired formation is apparently 4-3-3. That's what he was telling us on the summer tour of the States. So if it's a 4-3-3, then you could see perhaps Depay on one flank and Martial on the net on the other flank, with Rooney through the middle. But actually, Lim's had a good start to the season as well. But you know, Rooney really needs to start delivering and showing a bit more pace and movement up front. He's not really pulled up any trees as yet, and it's 10 or 11 games in the Premier League without a goal now, which is his worst ever run. You know, it's going to come to an end at some point, but at the minute it seems to be penalties. And you know, I think Herrera's claimed that job now after scoring against Liverpool last week, so I don't know where Rooney's next goal is coming from.
I know, it's a bit distressing, isn't it, particularly for an England fan, because looking forward to the Euros, many people I think expect Wayne Rooney to be instrumental, but if he's not scoring at club level, it might not happen at international level.
No, it's tricky to see what happens next for Wayne Rooney. You know, great player that he has been and still is. I just feel he's still trying to find his role. And is he a centre forward anymore? Is he number 10? Is he a midfielder? We don't know. He's still searching for the role that will kind of see him through to the end of his career. And I just don't see him as a centre forward anymore. I just don't think he's quick enough.
No, I agree. What's the best bet this weekend? And we've been through a number of matches. Would you say Palace away at Tottenham stands out?
It stands out, but for me, I just think West Ham to win at Man City at 10-1. It's a real outside bet, but I just think that, considering they've won at Anfield and they've won at Arsenal this year, I think that's such good value, you know, for a punt. It's probably not the most sensible bet, but I think at 10-1, people will regret it if they don't stick a fiver on that at half past seven tomorrow night if they've won there.
I agree. Thank you, Mark. And are you at a match this weekend?
I'm not at a match this weekend, no. I'm at a friend's 40th birthday, so I've got a rare weekend off. I'm back on next week for the Capital One Cup tie at United Ipswich, the Ipswich.
Good stuff. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for your company this morning, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future.
Thanks, Dave.
Remember, you can follow Mark on Twitter. MOgdenTelegraph is Mark's Twitter handle. You can follow myself at D. Kellner, and make sure you check out our full range of football podcasts at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. The Punt podcast covers the top-flight Premier League football. We've got the league podcast and, of course, the European football podcast as well. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the FWA podcast, and best of luck with your betting this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.